Morning.
Morning.
I'm Peter Wright, and I'm delighted to be here today to share my passion for past life regression. The title of my presentation is, What Can You Learn from Your Past Lives? During the presentation, I'm going to cover 5 different points. To begin with, a brief history about the belief in reincarnation. Then, a discussion of the origins of past life regression therapy. We'll then discuss how this approach differs from other types of therapies, and then how it works, why it works, with some examples, and then we'll end with some examples of historically proven cases of the existence of past lives. By way of background, as Spencer mentioned, I'm a board-certified past life regression therapist. I've been practicing for the last 20 years. There are 50 board-certified past life regression therapists in the country. I'm also a certified hypnotherapist and a neuro-linguistic programming NLP practitioner. In addition, I'm certified in Life Between Lives, which is Michael Newton's work, Journey of Souls, where we take clients into the spirit world to meet with your council of elders. So, just as an aside. And I'm skilled in spirit releasement. I've been in practice for the last 22 years and have been in Santa Barbara for the last 14. There's a sign-up sheet if you'd like to be added to my mailing list. No one's going to call you. Please feel free to do so, putting your name and email address. Thank you. And, or you can give me your business card. Next month, I'll be giving a presentation. This is shameless self-promotion for just a moment, that will feature a new way of healing using divine light to dissolve long-standing karmic issues without needing to review the events pertaining to those issues. So add your name to the list, and I'll be happy to forward information to you on that.
Is that your website?
My website is www.insightsfromwithin.com. I encourage you to go to it. My remarks today will be very informal, and I encourage you to stop me with questions or comments, because I like it to be an interchange of ideas. So let's get started. Reincarnation. It's the oldest and most widely held spiritual belief known to mankind. You can see the first vestiges of it 100,000 plus years ago, at the time of the Neanderthals. In their burial mounds, they would often be buried with their tools or their weapons around them so that when they passed on into the next realm, they could easily pick them up and continue working or fighting or whatever that might be. The ancient Egyptian belief in the immortal soul can be traced back to 1300 BC. Belief in reincarnation appeared in the Hindu religion for the first time about the 6th century BC. And that's the world's oldest religion, as you know. Reincarnation was part of the Christian church, the early Christian church. But in 553 AD, at the Second Council of Constantinople, the doctrine was dropped. Why? Well, the doctrine said, my destiny is up to me. I decide my destiny, and I can do this without the church. And at that time, we had a growing Christian church, and we had the Emperor Justinian, who was eager to assert his powers. And it threatened reincarnation, threatened the institutional structure of the church and the emperor. So it was dropped. With the idea that we have the whip of judgment day, you better be good, to keep the faithful in line. Today, about 75% of the world's population believes in reincarnation. In fact, it's been a belief in almost all the major religions. You find it in the writings of the Hasidic Jews, the Sufis, the Gnostic Christians, for example, going way back when. So, why? What is this about reincarnation? Well, we're born again in physical bodies to develop and perfect our soul. Each soul needs a broad range of experiences in order to become all that it can be. Karma is the golden rule of reincarnation. It's how we learn our lessons. So I could say that the purpose of reincarnation is the exercise of free will. Choice. We have a choice. Lifetime after lifetime, how we lead our lives. Because we are the masters of our own destiny, in terms of those of us who believe in reincarnation. So what about this amnesia? Why can't we remember our past lives easily? Well, amnesia is imposed upon us because when we come into our current life, the past life experiences that we've had, therefore, will not inhibit our self-discovery in this life. So it helps us be what we want to be in this life without having to think about all the other decisions we made in past lives. It encourages self-discovery. So, what about past life regression? How does that fit into this picture of reincarnation? Well, it goes back to ancient times, not in the terms of past life regression, but as you'll see, we find it was practiced in the Greek dream incubation centers and in the Greek and Egyptian mystery schools. There was a belief in using dreams and the like to find out more about what's happened. Edgar Cayce, back in the 1920s and 1930s, did a lot to help to raise awareness, because in his readings, he would often talk about the person's past lives. In the 1950s, past life regression came into its very beginnings in terms of a formal therapy, as it was developed by psychologists, psychiatrists, and hypnotherapists. One of the seminal events that really spurred on interest in past lives in the general public was the book The Search for Bridie Murphy. Some of you may remember that from the 60s. It was the story of an American housewife, Virginia Tighe, while in hypnosis, recounted memories of being a woman in 19th century Ireland whose name was Bridie Murphy. And then more recently, Dr. Brian Weiss wrote Many Lives, Many Masters, which is a classic in today's field, as far as I'm concerned. I encourage my clients to, if they're interested, to read it. It's a very easy read, because it helped to popularize past life regression therapy. Anybody read Many Lives, Many Masters? Excellent. Okay. Brian Weiss, who wrote that. A little bit about him. I think one of the reasons that the book caught the public's attention was that he was, as he saw himself, a psychiatrist who was left brain and obsessive about science. He was completely skeptical of anything having to do with past lives or the paranormal. Didn't believe in it at all. He didn't know anything about it either, but he didn't believe in it. So he then met Catherine, and the book is about his experience with Catherine, a client of his. Catherine came to him, and she was suffering from fears, phobias, paralyzing panic attacks, recurrent nightmares, depression.
That's what I suffer from.
He worked with her for 18 months using conventional therapeutic techniques, and her symptoms didn't get any better, at least didn't seem to. So he asked for permission to use hypnosis. She agreed. And inadvertently, he said, as part of the induction, go back to the time from which your symptoms arose. And she went back 3,800 years to 1863 B.C. That surprised him. And during their time together, they explored 12 different lifetimes that Catherine had had. And over a 3.5 month period, she got better after each session. Oh my gosh, how can this be? Well, he wrote a book about it. So, here's a definition of past life regression therapy. We go back to an earlier time, whenever that time may be. in order to retrieve memories that may be negatively influencing you right now and are probably the source of your symptoms. In other words, we follow the symptom on back to the cause whenever it occurred. Could be this life, could be a past life story, and release your attachment to it. So, putting this into context, I see past life regression therapy as short-term therapy. It's intensive, but it can help resolve problems, issues, much more quickly than conventional talk therapy or other modalities. Now, as one example here, several years ago, there was a research study done in Holland where they took two groups of clients with similar symptoms. One half of the group was used, they used past life therapy. The other half, conventional talk therapy. What they found was, measured by standard tests, that those who were undergoing past life therapy recovered at twice the speed as those involved in conventional therapy. Really? Really? So, I find in my own practice that past life therapy can dissolve pain, tension, and chronic holding patterns. It can release troubling emotional blocks that are at the very core of the issues that concern you. They can help you transform your limiting beliefs to help you achieve your full potential quickly. The approach that I use was pioneered by Dr. Roger Wolger, who wrote Other Lives, Other Selves. He's a British-born, Oxford-educated, Jungian analyst who came upon past lives. And in fact, he is considered, as we talked about Stan Grof in this class, who focused in particular on the pre-birth area, Roger focused on the death and after-death area. So they were contemporaries, and both were very scholarship-oriented. And this book, in fact, is used as a standard text within past life regression for students of the field. So what's the difference between past life regression and talk therapy? I'll give you a little bit more of several of these examples. Talk therapy, of course, focuses on the conscious mind. With past life therapy, we're using the conscious mind, the subconscious, and, of course, the superconscious, as well as the other subtle bodies. In other words, the physical body, the emotional body, the spirit body. Guidance from your own guides, from your higher self. It's the only regression therapy that releases trauma in the body, mind, and spirit, and emotions simultaneously. As you'll see, we're helping to resolve the soul's unfinished business. All right, Peter, are these actual fantasies or actual memories? What are they that come forth in these stories from my clients? Well, I find that fantasies can be easily changed. So I have a client in hypnosis, they're going through a lifetime, and they're in the midst of what's happening. And we go back to that story 5 years later, in terms of they come to see me 5 years later, we happen to go back into that same story, the exact same details are there. Maybe a little bit more of what happened, but fantasies can easily be changed. The past life stories are there, they're the same time after time after time for a particular client. They're concrete, they're down to earth, they're very real, very consistent. Past life therapy can overcome negative habits, eliminate phobias. It changes your perspective on life. You realize that you're more than your physical body, that life does go on, lifetime after lifetime. And it doesn't matter if you believe in it at all. Maybe it's a story, or maybe you made it up. We'll be talking about that more in just a few seconds. Plus, it empowers you to just get rid of those blockages that are preventing you from getting what you want. Because it's very cause-oriented. We go back to the cause or source of the particular issue. Brian Weiss believes that, in terms of fantasies versus actual memories, 80% of it, he believes up to 80%, could be actual memories of that particular lifetime that you had. with 10% being symbol and metaphor, and 10% being distortion or disguise, maybe. What I find is that if you're looking for the cause or source of the problem, of the client, you may not find it in this lifetime, because it didn't happen in this lifetime. Often, the problem or source is the cause was much larger than you think that it was, and it gets triggered during the birth process, or in childhood, or as an adult, perhaps at the age that you were in that lifetime when it first occurred, triggering. And I'll have an example of that in just a little while. Many of us have pains and phobias and negative thoughts and attitudes that couldn't have originated in our earlier life, in this lifetime. We have anxiety attacks, chronic pain, we're depressed, we have odd fears that make no sense. So, in this session, you're guided into a deep level or light level of hypnosis. It turns out all you really need is a light level of hypnosis. And in my practice, I ask your wisdom self, your higher self, to come forth and talk to us. And invite you to get out of the way. And let's go back and find out what happened. So just allow the story to unfold as if it's important. Examples. I had a client who came to me in her early 40s who desperately wanted to become pregnant. And she couldn't. We discovered several lifetimes where she'd been raped and killed. So we went into these stories, had her confront her aggressors, and so she could release the fear, the anger, and the trauma. And so very quickly after that, she became pregnant. Fear of flying. A client who came to me who had to do a lot of flying due to her job. But as she would sit in the plane, as it started to rev the motors, she would panic. So asked her higher self to take us back to the cause, and she saw herself as a pilot in a small plane that crashed and in the jungle. And as she was lifting herself up from the ground where she had ended up, she realized that her legs were no longer there, and she quickly died. So no wonder there was a fear of flying. It was taking her back in her memories to that past life story. Or insomnia. A client who began to experience insomnia at the age of 26. No cause was found in his childhood. So he discovered that in a past life he was on guard duty for his Indian tribe, and he fell asleep. And his whole tribe was killed by a rival tribe. When he awoke, he discovered to his shock what had happened, and he was quickly killed by the enemy at the age of 26. Interesting. He died thinking, it's all my fault, I failed my tribe, I'll never let myself sleep again. Again, these thoughts that we die with can have a major impact on an upcoming lifetime. So what we do is we focus on the story. What's the story? Because it often wants to be finished. It's incomplete. We want to complete the story. The unconscious mind wants to tell its story. So we tell it as if it's real, as if it's really happening. The psychological truth is what's important here. So in a typical 2-hour session, let me just give you a brief overview of what can happen. You arrive at the office. Yay. I take a brief client history, and then we talk about the issues that you'd like to focus on. Out of that, we form a strong intention as to what we want to cover. We want to do this, this, and this today. Okay? Take you into a light hypnotic trance, and we don't have to go so deep because the past life stories are just simmering beneath your conscious awareness. They're right there. So you have easy access to them. In hypnosis, what is hypnosis? Well, there's so many myths about it. It is just simply focused concentration. That's all it is. While you're in hypnosis, you're aware of everything that's going on around you. You hear the traffic outside. Hopefully you're focusing on what's going on inside of you, because that's where the information is. That's where the answers are. And you remember everything that happens during the session. You are in charge. I'm a facilitator. I encourage you. I support you. I seek to take you to that perfect depth where we can gain access to all the information that's available to you. And I put on music that's guaranteed to take you there. So don't disappoint the music. And all you really need is a state of reverie. That's all you really need. Now, I find that with past lives, about 75% of my clients are visual. So we go into a past life story, and they see it all. Like they're starring in their own costume drama. But about 25% of my clients, and I'm in this group, are more kinesthetic or audio. So whenever I go into one of my past life stories, I don't see anything. I sense it. I feel it. I hear it. But frankly, Scarlett, I think I'm making up the whole thing. Well, I'm making up this story, not that one over there. The soul speaks through the imagination. Let it speak through you however it chooses to do so. And all you need to do is be my tour guide, be my court reporter, and share with me what's happening. Just trust the first feeling, the first thought, the first image, the first voice, the first whatever you get, as if it's important, and share it with me. What I find is that with this information that's coming through, it's coming from somewhere. Listen to it. Be a part of it. Give it room to share itself with us, whether it's through thought, through emotion, through something that you hear, or maybe you see it. But it's coming from a part of you that is wants to express that particular story from within. So, one of my favorite expressions, get out of the way and allow it to come forth. Because by trusting the first thought, the first feeling, the first image, the first voice, the first whatever you get, and then the next one and the next one, what happens is that you can begin the healing process. So, you're now in hypnosis, or relaxed concentration, very relaxed. So I invite your higher self to come forth, that wisdom part of you, that knows everything there is to know about you, everything in this life and all of your past lives. And I ask your higher self if the cause or source that we're seeking to find out today has its cause in this life or a past life. And I use the same modalities for either one, but I'll, in a few moments, take you through a typical session. So then I'll count from 1 to 5, and I encourage you to follow your higher self on back. Let's say it's a past life story here. So 1, 2, going backwards in time, 3, 4, 5. Plant yourself firmly down in the memory of your body as it was then, and plant your feet firmly into that body. And look down now and clearly see or sense or feel your feet. What are you wearing on your feet? First thought, if you don't see it. Barefoot. Okay, great. Become aware of your hair. Is it long or short? First thought. Hands, large or small or medium? First thought. Expand your awareness. What are you wearing on your body? But I'm making it up. That's okay. What do you get? All right. Then, inside or outside? Daytime or nighttime? Alone or with people? What's happening? Very quickly, we establish a character, you, in another time, another place. And what we do is we look for the key turning points in that story. Go, what happens next? And next, and next. So we're exploring the past life exactly as it unfolded, focusing in particular on the defeats. Where did things go wrong for you in that past life? Or, where were you the perpetrator? Where did you cause pain to others? Because out of these defeats, these come the complexes, the negative belief systems that may be affecting us today. So we can observe what happened then and how it's playing out in your life today. Because then we know what we can help you let go of. So we go through the lifetime, looking for the defeats, then through the death. How did you die? What's your dying thought? Well, Tibetan Buddhists believe that a dying thought can have a major impact on an upcoming lifetime. So, if you die of starvation, dying thought is, there's never enough food. Maybe that's playing in the back of your mind today for some reason, and weight is an issue, because you part of you feels like there's never enough food. Or, perhaps, Spanish Inquisition death, where you died for speaking your truth. Well, if you died then for speaking your truth, maybe that's an issue now. And it's been triggered by something that's happened to you in your present lifetime. So, you now have died. I invite you to move into your spirit body. Feel what happens as you move from that physical body that's now dead into your spirit body. How does it feel? Much lighter, I'm sure. And I invite you to look down and see the spirit, the physical body left behind. How does it look? What happened? Because we may not be really sure exactly how you did die, or what if others were around you. So you report to me what exactly happened. And is the body dead? Has it stopped breathing? Has the heart stopped beating? Then you can realize, yes, that lifetime is over. That body is dead. We then go into the spirit world, into what the Tibetans call the bardo, the in-between place between lifetimes. And this is where we seek to resolve what was unfinished from the lifetime we just explored. It's a sacred space where everyone is available to us. From that lifetime, from your present lifetime, from the spirit world, from guidance, from other past lifetimes, they're all available to us, and they can join us if we ask them to, or when we ask them to. So, we've died, gone into the spirit body, gone into the bardo, and I ask you, who shows up first with whom you're unfinished from that lifetime we just explored? And I invite you to then dialogue with that person as if they were really there, speaking your truth to them about what happened in that lifetime together. Often we get a chance to speak our truth, and it can lead to forgiveness between the two of you. Or if you're the perpetrator, see all the villagers you killed. Invite them to come and join you right now. What do you want to say to them that you couldn't say before you died and before they died? I'm really sorry for what happened. Do they hear you? Yeah, they do. How do they respond? They understand it was wartime. It was the role they were supposed to play, or whatever it may be. I'll be giving you an example of this in just a few moments. What we're seeking to do is come to closure with the story, with those unfinished business-related individuals from that lifetime. After doing that with each one, I invite you to look deeply into the eyes of the of your wife in that lifetime, who you sought to come to closure with after you've forgiven each other, down into her very soul. Does she remind you of anyone in your present lifetime? Oh my gosh, it's my fill in the blank. Often we're reborn with the same individuals, same souls, lifetime after lifetime, in order to learn lessons. It's similar to a Shakespearean theatrical company. We're all actors. We're in the midst of Hamlet, and a lot of people die, and a lot of drama takes place. And at the end of the show, we take our curtain calls, bowing to the audience, go off stage, take off our makeup, shake hands with our fellow actors, saying, "Great job," and then get Richard III out and decide, which role am I going to play and which role are you going to play? to help each other learn our lessons. So let me give you an example of a typical session, just to sort of fill in what is he talking about that. So you come to me and you are concerned about your bursitis in your shoulder. It's not life-threatening, but it hurts. Okay, so take you in hypnosis, and we go back into that past life, and automatically, quickly, you see yourself, you're a farmer, tilling the land. You're young. You're maybe in your early 20s. So we go to the next important event when something changes. One, two, three. I met a girl, you tell me. Really? Tell me about her. Oh, we're going to get married. How do you feel about that? Oh, I'm excited, you tell me. Next important event. We're getting married. Oh, my gosh. So we go to the wedding ceremony. Again, it's very positive, very loving. Hooray. Next important event when something changes. One, two, three. She's pregnant. Great. How do you feel about that? Again, we're thrilled. Good. Next important event. Rumors of war. It's not going to affect my farm. I'm in the middle of nowhere, and my pregnant wife and I are just looking forward to the arrival of the baby. Great. Next important event. The invading army comes marching through your land, takes you from the field into their service, and you don't even have a chance to say goodbye to your pregnant wife. And this is not your war, but you're now fighting, and you're really upset. Next important event, you're being trained for battle. And next important event, you go into battle, forced in, and you're immediately shot in the shoulder by the enemy. And you die very angry because you'll never see your pregnant wife again. And it wasn't your war. And what about the child? And, oh, what a failure you feel. All right, we then go through the death. How did you die? Dying thought. Into the bardo. So, I ask you, who shows up first? My wife. How does she look? Oh, she looks terrific. Often, they appear at the height of your memory of them. What do you want to say to your wife that you couldn't say to her before you died? I'm really sorry for what happened. I'm sorry I wasn't there. Does she hear you? Yeah, she does. How does she respond? She understood. It was wartime. Does she blame you? No, she doesn't. How does that feel? Relief. Come to closure with the wife. Look deeply into the eyes of your wife, down into her very soul. Does she remind you of anyone in your present lifetime? Oh my gosh, it's my mother. Oh my gosh, it's my fill in the blank. Come to closure with the wife. Who shows up next? My child, who I never met. Is it a boy or girl? It's a girl. What do you want to say to your daughter that you couldn't say to her before you died? I'm really sorry for not having been there to raise you. I'm sorry. I really feel so guilty about that. Does she hear you? Yeah, she does. How does she respond? She tells me that's why she chose me to be her father. Really? What does that mean? Well, she tells me that she knew I was going to die before she was born, and that way I'd have to take on more responsibilities as a soul to help the family and to grow up. Oh, how does that feel for you? Oh, much better. Does she blame you for any of that? Oh, no, she doesn't. So we come to closure with the daughter. Now look deeply into her eyes, down into her very soul. Does she remind you of anyone in your present lifetime? Oh my gosh, it's my fill in the blank. So come to closure. Who else shows up with whom you're unfinished from that lifetime? It's the man who shot me in the shoulder. What do you want to say to him? Because you couldn't say to him before you died. How dare you? Blah, 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 blah. Does he hear you? Yeah, he does. How does he respond? He was just as frightened as I was. Oh. Because you know you're alive and well in my therapy chair. You live through this, and often we get to the point of forgiveness, often of letting go. Look deeply into the eyes of the man who shot you, down into his very soul. Does it remind you of anyone in your present lifetime? Oh my gosh, it's my boss who I can't stand. Often by doing this, we can shift the relationship or some of the issues that you have with that person in today's life by coming to closure with them in the past life. Because, again, we're all related. It's all related. So, are these really past life memories, Peter? Oh, come on, are they really? Well, as I mentioned, Brian Weiss, who wrote Many Lives, Many Masters, believes that 80% could actually be actual memory. Or maybe they're waking dreams fabricated by your subconscious that need to be expressed to help you heal. Maybe. Or maybe you glommed on to someone else's story from the collective unconscious that Carl Jung talked about. You know, all those stories are out there for everybody, and you took that person's story because it mirrors where you're stuck. And telling that person's story helped you to become unstuck. Or maybe you made up the whole thing. But is the pain in the shoulder gone? Well, it is. And let's not worry about it. It doesn't have to be real. They're just stories that we're seeking to come to closure with in a way that honors you and honors those who were involved with you in that story. Yes, question, Christina.
Well, I just wanted to share that I have had many past life memories come up. Mm-hmm. And I have met several people in my life who died with me in those lifetimes, and we had the same memories.
Okay. Exactly. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, one of the stories, I was in a concentration camp, and years ago I went to France. And I met this lovely woman through another friend, and as we were talking, we realized that we were there together. And at the time that we were separated, we made a promise that we would meet again.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so beautiful.
Yeah. This happens fairly often.
Yeah. And then I had a lifetime where I was burned as a witch.
Okay.
And I didn't remember feeling the fire, but I remember being burned. And in that lifetime, I was an herbalist. And I worked with the fairies and the nature spirits. And at the time that I was about to be burned, they anesthetized me so that I would not feel the fire. Mm-hmm. Well, recently I met another woman here in Santa Barbara who I was doing some healing work with, and she had the same memory. We realized we were there together, we were burned together, but we both realized we did not feel the fire.
Yep.
And that we were helped by the nature spirits.
Often what happens is you go out of body when the pain begins, so you really do not feel it.
Yeah. No. Can I share one other thing?
Yes, please.
I'm a healer, and I do past life healing. I'm a volunteer healer, and we have a technique to bring people into past lives, and what we do is we focus on a part of the body where there has been chronic problems, as you're saying, like the shoulder. Because in past lives, there has been trauma to that body. Mm-hmm. And that's a way of bringing a person back aesthetically into a past life. And I had a woman who came to me with cancer on her skin, on her nose. And the life that we went back to, she was a leper. And she was about to lose the skin on her nose. And so, similar to what you said, I helped her to get in touch with the spiritual lesson. Mm-hmm. And she needed to learn that lifetime that related to this lifetime.
Exactly.
And her skin cancer cleared up very quickly.
There are no accidents here. It's all connected. Helen Wambach, who was a researcher back in the 50s and 60s, where she would take groups of people into a group past life regression and then would have them recount what their experiences were, discovered in her research that about 78% of us do meet people in our present life that we were with in past lives. There's that sense of connection. There's that sense of, I know you from somewhere, I'm just not sure where. So what sorts of issues can be resolved with this type of approach? Unresolved feelings of grief and guilt, despair, fear, anger, rage, depression, anxiety, poor self-esteem, obsessive thoughts, that negative voice that is constantly nagging you, chronic holding patterns, childhood trauma, the whole, really, so many different areas can be assisted through this. Though I need to say, I do not claim that past life work is the miracle cure for all modality, for all maladies. But I do suggest I've had 20 years experience in this, and it has found to be very effective for those who are open to it. Yes?
What do you think about the use of alcohol and or any other form of drug that seems so prevalent today? I recognize as an older person having gone through a lot of that stuff. I am fairly aware of it with grandsons and younger people or family members. And so I'd like to know more about that process where we keep ourselves sedated.
I have very strong feelings about that, because I think, as I mentioned with my mention of last week's presentation in San Diego, I find that alcohol can be, or drug use, can be an entree for negative energies to attach themselves to us. And it's not part of our therapeutic model, therefore it doesn't exist, but it exists. And there are easy ways to help release those from individuals. So, but we can talk afterwards, okay? Any other comments or questions? Yes.
Can you use the regression to go back and enhance current positive qualities?
Absolutely. I was just about to say that. So we go back to, let's say you're a writer and you're currently blocked. Something's going on here. Well, maybe you were, most likely were, a writer in another lifetime where it flowed easily. So let's go back to that lifetime and bring that energy forward to you today to help you with your writing. Or let's turn to your own guidance and find out from your higher self or other parts of you what's blocking you from writing today. And maybe there's a subpersonality or a part of you that just isn't really sure about this, that we invite that part to come forward, finding out from it what wants to happen to release that from you, to let it go. So lots of possibilities, especially with hypnosis. So what happens if we don't deal with these issues? Well, the body remembers everything that's ever happened to us in terms of major issues. Plus, the emotional body remembers as well the hurts and the trauma and so on. And so what we find is that what we don't deal with emotionally, we may be dealing with physically, such as cancer could be seen as long-standing resentment, prolonged anxiety or anger not dealt with. Arthritis could be seen as criticism, feeling unloved and the like. Louise Hay talks a lot about this in her books, so a possibility there to see this from that standpoint. So what I'd like to do now is share one example of a past life that I found especially fascinating, and you'll see why as it unfolds. It was a client of mine who was a 27-year-old Italian airline pilot who loved singing opera. On the side, he just was passionate about opera singing. But as he said to me, he was concerned because he was unable to trill the R's when he sang. And that's important if you're an Italian opera singer. And that he felt that at the base of his tongue was pressing down on his voice box. It didn't feel right, whatever that meant. It just didn't feel right and was causing problems with his singing. Okay. So, did it have a past life connection? Well, brought him in hypnosis and went back to the cause or source, and he saw himself as a German submarine military guy on a submarine with 98 sailors on board off the coast of Sicily in 1944. He was newly married, and because he'd gotten the girl pregnant. Right? As we move forward in his life, he realized that his wife had given birth to a son, but then she died. Right? We learned earlier in his life that his father had been in the military and believed that his son, my client, in that lifetime, should go into the military as well. But the father thought it would instill something good into the son. But the son wanted to be a musician, he told me. right? And the father died before World War II began. So we're now going, next important event, he's on board the submarine. And he'd enlisted to please his father, and they're deep underwater, and I asked him what he did on board the sub. And he said, "I sink other ships." All right. As we move forward, we discovered that the submarine had been torpedoed by an Allied warship. And he realized when that happened that they were all going to die. And in fact, they all died. As the sub fell to the bottom of the Mediterranean, he felt his throat constrict from the pressure and the eventual loss of oxygen. Interesting. Death soon followed, and he felt very angry at the captain of the sub, because if it hadn't been for the captain, maybe they could have gotten out of that predicament, but they didn't. So at the time of his death, he moved out of his body. I asked him, how did it feel? He said, lighter, of course. We then moved into the Bardo, and in the Bardo, we invited those with whom he was unfinished to join us. Who shows up first? My dad, he said. What do you want to say to your father that you couldn't say to him before you died? We learned that his father had forced his son to join the Navy, and that this led to a back and forth of reconciliation between the two. Then he looked into the eyes of his father after the reconciliation had occurred. Does he remind you of anyone in your present lifetime today? Yes, my nephew, he said. So they came to closure. Who shows up next? My wife. Yes, go ahead.
Does a man see himself as another man? And women see themselves as another woman?
We go back and forth. So you can see as a client, a female client, you can see yourself as a man or as a woman, as a child, whatever. Anything is possible here. Okay. So the captain then comes, the wife comes next. They express love for each other, and he discovered that the wife was his mother in his present lifetime. Then the captain of the submarine was brought in. A lot of blame and anger was expressed. The captain apologized, said he was doing the best that he could do, but he was outmaneuvered by the Allied forces. So they reached closure there. He looked into the eyes of his captain and discovered that it was his father in today's life. And the two have had contentious issues between them. Next, the submariner's son arrived, the son who he never met. And the two dialogue back and forth. We learn that the son is not with the client in his present life today, but rather he's in the spirit world to help him whenever he needs assistance. Interesting. Asked if anyone else was present that he wanted to get together with, and the German submariner's grandfather arrived. And the grandfather told us that he would help Mario in his current lifetime. So by doing so, all he needed to do was to feel his grandfather's presence. And that spirit of his grandfather would be there to support the opera singer pilot in his life today. So then I asked the submariner if he would be willing to forgive himself for all the choices. Because part of this, too, is not only forgiving everybody else, but forgiving yourself for what happened. And he was able to do that. Simultaneously, he felt a physical sensation, a change in the back of his throat. And then coming out of the session, he remembered everything. I followed up a week later, and he shared with me that he was able to sing much better as a result of this. He didn't sing like Pavarotti yet, but he was hopeful that this had helped improve his singing. And what's more, he went onto the internet and found the particular submarine that had sunk on that particular day with the 98 people aboard, and he had remembered the name of the captain of that submarine from our regression. So for him, it had proven to be, oh my gosh, it actually happened. From my perspective, there's a submarine, on the internet, there's a site for U-boat submarines that he had come upon. So that helped me to realize that there's something about this that truly, from my own personal experience, there is a historical connection. And this has happened on several occasions for me. So speaking of that, other past lives that have been proven, Professor Ian Stevenson was a professor at the University of Virginia for about 40 years. And he made a career of exploring the past lives of children to historically find if there is a connection between the child's memory and someone who had passed on before the child was born. And so he studied more than 600 cases from around the world and found on numerous occasions that the subject, the child, knew information that could be independently verified, such as names and addresses and specific events from those past lives. An example, the relatives of a camel dealer in Pakistan. The man had died while on a business trip and met, and eventually the family met a boy who claimed to be the father in the previous life. He was able to address the family members by name, recall the favorite dish of the deceased camel driver, and describe where the late man kept his money. Again, this happens over and over again in Ian Stevenson's research. The family was convinced that, in fact, this child was their father that had been reborn as a little boy. Professor Stevenson also spent time looking at medical records where wounds were able to be verified by medical records with birthmarks. So the connection between, for example, looking at the, you have a child who has a birthmark, and then the child, we discover, has had a past life as a man who died with wounds in those exact same places as the birthmarks. In 43 of the 49 cases where we located them, the medical documents confirm the existence of the same location for birthmark versus the wounds of that man who died or woman who died, and that the chances of this are 1 out of 25,000. For example, a young child from Thailand with birthmarks that matched the entrance and exit wounds on a deceased man had knowledge about the man's life that couldn't have been obtained in any other way except having been that man in the previous life. So Stevenson talks at great length about the these types of historically verified cases. Another one was Captain Robert Snow, who's a 30-year veteran of the Indianapolis Police Department. He remembered a life as an artist in the late 1800s in France. What stood out in his memory was a painting that this artist was making, and he was the artist, of a woman who is somewhat hunchbacked next to a gaslight. So this had, he had this image of this painting. So he used his detective skills. He's a policeman. He used his detective skills. And he spent hundreds of hours researching to see if whoever this artist might be didn't know, but lots of time spent. And on a visit to New Orleans, he went into an obscure art gallery there, and he came upon artist J. Carroll Beckwith and the portrait of a slightly hunchbacked woman in a long gown, the painting that he had seen in his imagination, exactly, in this gallery in New Orleans. And this, on further investigation, he remembered 28 particulars about that lifetime that were verifiable in Beckwith's private journals that had never been published. Interesting. He wrote a book about it. So, all right. Any, yes, questions?
I'm curious. Obviously, you have a lot of contact with a lot of other professionals in this field. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there is any discussions about progressions into future lives.
Good question. What we find is, yes, it is possible to go into the future, but as you think about your life, going 10 years ahead in time, if choice is how our souls evolve, we're going to be making a lot of choices between now and 10 years from now. What am I going to have for breakfast? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? You know, major and minor choices that can take us in a variety of directions. Chet Snow wrote a book called Mass Dreams of the Future, where he explored the possibilities of future progressions. And what he found in his research was that you could say we have five possibilities of how the future might unfold, from really great to really poorly. And that your choices, while you can say, yeah, we might be going in that direction overall to good or whatever, it still is no real confirmation that it's going to be ending up that way. So it's a sort of a yes and no answer. We can go into the future, but with a grain of salt, because other things can take place between now and then that could take you in a different direction from the one that you're heading in right now. Yes?
Are the players or the characters in the regression experience always
different? Always, excuse me? Not necessarily. No. Some people have had lifetimes in other dimensions, on other planets, and they choose to come to Earth for the Earth experience. Michael Newton talks a lot about hybrid souls and journey of souls, which are those who have had experience in these other dimensions but want to have the Earth experience as well.
What about animals?
Animals, typically not. It's very focused on the human and the human ability to evolve lifetime after lifetime. Other questions? Yes.
Yeah, since you mentioned Ian Stevenson, I'm sure you're familiar with his work, there's this phenomenon that children up to a certain age have all these memories very accessible.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there's anyone in your profession that works more with children, because based on that effect, you'd think it'd be more successful working out problems with children at a younger age. And then this Leininger case, which mm-hmm. the sole survivor case mm-hmm. of the
right.
World War II pilot shot down is maybe an example of that.
Right. Yes, it's very true. We find that children do remember past lives more easily than adults do, because they're allowed to. By the time you're 6 or 7, parents are saying, no, don't believe that. No, that's not true. So it shuts down. For the possibility of working with children with problems and issues, hypnosis can be very helpful. But again, they don't necessarily have that much life experience that says they have major issues to resolve. So
what about past life experience?
Past life can be helpful. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, one more question.
Okay, what are we evolving for?
My belief, again, my own belief, is that we are seeking to perfect our souls to eventually return to source, whatever that means. So lifetime after lifetime to basically, again, my perspective is forgiveness, love are key. Forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of everybody else, loving everybody else, loving ourselves.
And no more reincarnation.
And no more reincarnation on the earth plane. I think we then have, again, my belief that we have other levels that we're going to go through that are not based and are not part of the karmic circle that we're caught in here on earth. Yes?
Just a quick question. I love the idea that it happens so quick, but is it possible that somebody gets stuck somewhere along the line?
Give me one more sentence. Stuck.
Where they're at. In other words, something happened 500 years ago and they cannot get past it.
In terms of in the life today, we're dealing with it. It can happen, but then we bring forth your own inner guidance to help us out. What wants to happen to help release and let go of that issue, that fear, that problem, whatever, and invite you to get out of the way and let's explore what can happen, and shifts can very quickly occur. All right. Well, I think we've come to the close of our session today. There's a flyer up front here, if you'd like, that gives a little bit more information about me. I am passionate about this topic, as you can see. So feel free to call me or email me or stop by. Thank you very much.